like a pen. He took both his hands, put them above his ears, and did his deep, deep prayer. He could almost feel the power of God moving through his hands and through Bubba. After the pastor ended, he looked, brought his hands back down. He was so amazed. So he turned to Bubba and said, "So how's your hearing now?" And Bubba said, "Well, I don't rightly know. My hearing is not until Tuesday." Okay. Oh, so good, but that didn't surprise you. Jesus was confronted on this day that we read by the religious leaders. Jesus was going to walk about with his friends, his disciples, his apostles, and find himself in a weak field. Why the religious leaders were there, I don't know. I get the impression when I said read the Bible, they followed Jesus to try and create trouble. While they were in the wheat field, the apostles were hungry. They broke off a piece of the, the wheat, and they broke off the grain and started to eat. To which the religious leaders who happened to be there at that time were yelling, "Foul! That's wrong! You cannot do that on the Sabbath. Yeah, it's not lawful." What in the world are they talking about? We're talking about these things we call Sabbath rules. The idea of the Sabbath comes from the beginning of creation, where God created the world and everything in it in 6 days. On the seventh day, God took a rest. That's where Sabbath begins. Then in the fourth commandment of the Ten Commandments, we have the idea that God proclaimed through those tablets from Mount Sinai down through Moses that we're to honor the Sabbath. We're to keep it holy. We're not to do any work on the Sabbath. That's where this starts to come from. The rabbis across the ages, in order to try and define what that meant, don't work on the Sabbath, started to give some advice, started to give opinions. And across the ages, they were put together in a book called the Mishnah. The Mishnah is a set of rules that are not in the Bible, but they define what you do on the Sabbath. Their essence, the Sabbath rules are, what is work defined as? It goes like this. Work is any activity that creates something or exercise control over one's environment. So what does that mean? Well, that means on the Sabbath, you can't make a meal because you're creating something and you're exercising control over your environment. With that meal, you can't even bake bread on the Sabbath. You can't even do anything that leads up to the bread making, such as you cannot reap any wheat, you cannot thresh the wheat, you cannot grind the wheat. By the way, that's what religious leaders accused Jesus and his apostles on that day of reaping wheat. There are other rules in there, such as you cannot write two or more letters on the Sabbath. Right. You cannot erase two more letters on the Sabbath. That's considered work. You cannot do something like start a fire. That's considered work. And you cannot put the fire out. That's considered work. These Sabbath rules, if you haven't gotten the idea, by the way, it's a whole batch of them. You haven't gotten the idea at this point. These are exhausting. They're so weighty. It feels like if you're trying to understand them, oh my goodness, this is too much to carry. Or some people in that day and time took the opposite view. That the Sabbath rules, when they followed them perfectly, guess what? Well, they're so full of themselves, because they now are able to follow Sabbath rules, so pride welled up within them. So we got a chance to experience Sabbath rules when we were in Israel last year. We arrived on a Wednesday. And Wednesday night we went into the old city of Jerusalem. There were people everywhere. All the shops were open. It was really quite a festive day. Thursday, we go in the old city. Shops are all open. It's incredible. Friday, it's about dinner time. The sun's just getting ready to set, and we see a whole batch of people leaving the old city. And they were heading out to different places. Friday night, we went into the old city of Jerusalem. By the way, that's Sabbath, or in their words, it's Shabbat. That's how they say it. It was like a ghost town. The only ones there, and the only shops were open, were either Christian or Arabs. They were not religious. It was really empty. After our meeting on Saturday night, as soon soon as the sun set, we went out. It was like another celebration. People were like almost dancing in the streets. The Sabbath was over, and now they were able to go and enjoy their time together. Now, the Sabbath was created so that we can hear what God thinks about this. It goes from the idea that God rested on the seventh day, and so we need to rest as well. We humans need this. See, God knows us. He knows what we humans need. We need rest. It was up to us. Guess what we do? We go 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We go. In fact, that's our society today. And we found that in our society today, that people who don't rest, guess what the end result of that is? Incredible stress. Over the last 3 decades, stress has risen over 30% in our society. Most of those who reported high stress were women, the younger people, and those who were poor. The next group that reported high stress levels were men. Now, you know what happens if you have high stress level all the time? It wears out your body. It wears you out. High stress is associated with heart disease, higher blood pressure, obesity, and diabetes. Now, good news, the study I looked at, the Mayo Clinic study, because you know that would be right. Mayo Clinic study said that as you get older, your stress goes down. So those of you who are farther advanced from birth, hey, you should be less stressed. That's what the study said. I'm just saying. Okay. Now, the answer to de-stress, I've got to make it, I went to a secular site. How do you de-stress? How do you take stress off of you? And their suggestion is to get away from your life. Take a 10-minute walk in the middle of your day and just talk to no one. By the way, while you're walking, unplug. No phone, no computer, no earplug, but unplug. That's how you de-stress. Breathe deeply. That's a de-stress moment. They say, turn off your thing. My heart's already starting to race, thinking of that moment. Actually, turn it off. Not just silent, turn it off. Here. Another way is to talk to a friend, and here's the key, in person. Not Skyping them. In person. And the last one, which I scarred, I highlighted it, it's big print in mine, is eat more chocolate. It's actually in their study. Not even laugh. Notice, it's not eat more vanilla. It's eat more chocolate. Right there it is. Now the reason why commandment number 4 is there, keep the Sabbath, make it holy, is because we need Sabbath rest. God knows us. In fact, in Psalm 46:10, God said, be still and know that I am God. Over in the story of Elijah, after he has that great moment on Mount Carmel, where he challenges the prophet of Baal and the prophet of Asherah, he wins. And King Ahab then is chasing him down to try and kill him. He's in this high stress moment. God doesn't come to him in the storm, doesn't come to him in the loud thunder. God comes in stillness. Elijah, be quiet to hear God. In the 23rd Psalm, King David tells us about Sabbath rest. He said, God leads me beside still waters and into green pastures. The Bible is filled with images. Statements that we are not wired to go 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We weren't meant for that kind of stress. We need a break. That's what Shabbat is. That's what Sabbath is all about. And just so God knows we don't try and avoid it, God commanded it. Now here's the problem. The problem is that we humans got a hold of it. We took something that God intended as a relational aspect, us refueling, us listening to God. We humans took it and then made a religion out of it. We put duties and rules and regulations on it. See, Shabbat was meant for us to take a breath, to move away from our life and realize that something grander and greater is in our lives, that's God. Sabbath was meant for us to take a moment of relaxation, so that we don't have to fit God in our day. God focuses. focuses, we're focusing on God all day long on Sabbath. So we can make God Lord of our mind on that day. Instead of, oh my goodness, that 5 minutes, here's a prayer, God. Or I'm sleeping, here's a prayer. But we humans, we love to regulate. We want to know how much work is really work. We want to know how many worship services do I have to go to get this relationship with God. I don't have to go to worship at all. We want to know how long do I have to go in order to be able to hear God. How many Bible verses do I have to read in a day? When I say rest, what does that mean? How much do I give? We try to put rules all over our place instead of just enjoying the relationship. The problem is the more rules and regulations we add in, we can drive ourselves crazy trying to figure out what they are. God wanted us to have this relationship, not religion. And the funny thing is, we haven't learned. We haven't learned. It's funny, the de-stress website led me to another website. And the website is how do you calm yourself down? Now, mind you, it's a secular website sending me to another secular website. And the way you calm yourself down, you unplug, you get the rest, is that you need an app on your phone. I can't make this up. Alright? The app on your phone is called Break Free. And you put it on your phone and it reminds you to not look at your phone. I struggle with this one. To see it, don't you have to look at your phone? But according to them, here's their website, it says, the Break Free app can help you take control of your life, to focus on what's important, and spend time with the people you care about. By looking at your phone, you're reminded to do that. This is what God has commanded us. I remind you, I'm not against religion. I'm more present. We do everything decently and in order. We know how to make rules. But the key is, if the rules are the end result of what we're doing, we've misplaced our minds. Because the rules are only a means to an end. It's only how we go to get to there, which is the relationship we need to have with God Almighty through Jesus Christ. We Presbyterians know, we have a system of government where elders who you elect rule over us, but then we have congregational input, we have people on these committees, and so we do so not just to follow the rules, but so we can deeply develop our community, which is part of us getting together as people, face to face. You see what happened in that Shabbat moment with Jesus and his followers on that Sabbath day, is that religion was elevated above the God doesn't want us to be the Jews. God wants us to love him. Love him like a father. Whereas Jesus said, love him so deeply that we call him Abba, which means dad. That's our relationship. That we run to God, just like you would do your heavenly father, or your earthly father. You run to God, you say, God, here's what happened today. I'm so excited. Here's what happened today. I'm so sad. Can you correct this for me? Can you help me with this? Give me some insight and direction and guidance. We do it individually and we do it corporately. That's what the relationship is all about. A perfect example of this, we turn our clock back long before Shabbat rolls to Abraham. Abraham knew that this was all about a relationship. In fact, he's listed as being a friend with God. And Jesus even tells us that's what we are now. In the upper room, Jesus said to us, I don't call you servants anymore because a servant does not know what their master is doing. I now call you my friends. Remember, the goal of what we do is a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Jesus opened the way up for us to get into heaven. In the manner in which he did that, he took the biggest thing away from us. He took our sin on the cross. So that doesn't stand in the way of us being able to worship God. And then Jesus demonstrated how we can go closer and deeper with God. But it's all through that way, through the avenue of Jesus Christ. Throughout this Epiphany season, we try to highlight the importance of Jesus. We showed in Luke chapter 4 that that he was God himself under this earth. And the power he has wasn't power derived from the ground, it was power that came from on high. He demonstrated in his life that those things that get in our way are the diseases, those things that we think are impossible, those things that drag us down. Jesus has a way of pushing them out or helping us overcome. Because Jesus has power over all of them. Even those things we think are insurmountable, like those demonic forces that may exist out there, Jesus has power even over the spirits of this world and the spirits in the world to come. That's why we talk about Jesus. That's why we talk about him so much. He's the one that will give us rest. He's the one that when we take a moment to take a breath, and you rest your mind on Jesus, it's amazing how quickly he can order our thoughts. Because he is the Lord of our lives, of our heart, of our soul, our mind. Thank you, wonderful God, for the amazing way in which our lives have been touched by you. We praise you for Jesus. You didn't send just a book to explain who you are. You sent a person to illustrate who you are, and not just any person. You sent a Savior. So that when we rest our hearts in Jesus, we're forgiven. We're cleaned up. We're made like you. What a gift it is, Lord God, to be able to know you through Jesus. He's our way. He's the resurrection.